Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
And co-host Kirsten Milliken. Welcome, everybody.
Hey. I was wondering when you were going to change that tape.
Well, the voiceover on that is a personal friend of mine. I got to get him over here sometime to make that happen. He just hasn't been over here for a while, but we'll make that happen. Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I am your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, with my co-host, Kirsten Milliken. Today is Wednesday, July the 25th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have round three for you guys tonight. It's a blockbuster show. With Wilma Fellman in our virtual studio. Our topic tonight is casting yourself into career for you. And Wilma, welcome back for the third show in 8 weeks.
Thank you. I'm loving this.
It's we're loving it too. It's really been fun. And for everybody else out there, we did our first show with Wilma back on May 9th. It was Finding Talents and Your Role in Life. And quite honestly, it's a show that I wanted to do for a long time. But honestly, I couldn't find anybody that I thought was good enough to come on the show or who I had thick enough skin, because I'm very opinionated on it, and I get upset when people talk about talents and gifts because they never address the hard stuff. They skip over and go to some stuff that really doesn't make any sense, which I'll talk about in a second. And she came on last week, and we're talking about casting and miscasting, and this week we're going to kind of get down into detail. So if you go back and listen to our show on May 9th, it's kind of high-level type stuff, and then last week was kind of getting you to pay attention to the right thing, and this week Wilma is going to talk about more of the details of the stuff that she gets into when she's looking at casting. So it's very exciting. I will have to say, just a preview, Wilma's going to come back on in September because she's got a book on poetry, which is awesome. She's read some poems for us to music, and we're going to play it in kind of a concert-type format, which we've never done. And let me just tell you, Kirsten was previewing some of it this morning and brought her to tears.
Literally. See, you make it sound like it didn't really happen, but it did. I was crying in my car on the way to work, and I actually had to email Wilma and tell her that I couldn't even get out of my car until I got a tissue, because I was so, like, moved by some of the stuff that she was reading and saying in her poetry. So it was actually a nice way to start the day, but it did take me a moment to get my composure. So thank you, Wilma.
Wilma's amazing. She's got two sides. She's got the career stuff in this. And you know what's really cool is not only is the poetry good, her voice is incredible, and her husband composed the music in the background. And everybody, that's going to be on September the 4th. I encourage you to tune into that particular show, because it's going to be more of a concert than is a radio show. So tune in. You'll learn a little bit more about that then. You know,
can I just add one thing?
Yeah, yes.
I know keeping this in mind until September may be a lot. Really, once we post it, make sure if you've got ADHD or you know somebody who has, you know, ADHD, that you ask them and their family members to listen to it, because it's a great way to convey the experience.
I tell you what, I'm moved. I know we're going to do a topic tonight, but Wilma, can I just play one of the excerpts real quick?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody, so here's this is just an excerpt. We're gonna do a thing with this we can put up on Facebook a little bit, but we're just gonna preview the show. This is about a minute and 10 seconds long, so this will just give you an idea of what we're looking at. So here we go.
Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical.
Push the wrong button. Hang on a second. Let's see. Here we go. How about this one?
This poem is from the book entitled "The Other Me: Poetic Thoughts on ADD for Adults, Kids, and Parents" by Wilma Fellman. The book can be found on Amazon.com, ADDWarehouse.com, and other book-selling sources. Disparity. Crisis I'm good at. I know what to do. I think very clearly and will follow through. I carry out projects that others won't touch. I wow them and please them. It doesn't take much. But while I'm sharing my pluses with you, I have to admit there's another side too. The day-to-day things that are easy for most, I can't seem to handle, like learning to coast. Crisis I'm good at, and this is no lie, it's life I can't master, I'm just not sure why.
Yay, Wilma!
Yes.
So that's a true talent of yours, Wilma, to pull that stuff together. But that was back in May. Actually, I tell you what, I got to get to announcements before I get myself in trouble. Everybody, real quickly, the CHAD conference, the annual conference, is coming up in November 8th through the 12th. 8th through the 10th in San Francisco, California. I know I'm going to be there. Kirsten's going to be there. Wilma, are you going to be there?
I have a wedding.
That's right. That's
so
right.
As of right now, no.
But it's out there. I encourage everybody to go. This is a big year for CHAD. It's their 25th year of Making a Difference. It's their 24th conference, but they've been doing this for 25 years. And we're actually having a show on September the 12th previewing it. We're actually going to have some interviews from some of the keynote speakers or the featured speakers, if you will. We've already recorded some stuff from Dr. Barkley, and we've got we're in conversation with Dr. Halliwell and a few other people. So just know that that's there. But it's a big deal. If you can make it, I can assure you it's well worth your while. So know that that's coming up. Next is as a reminder to everybody, you can listen to the show live if you just dial in on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock at 646-652-4409. Every once in a blue moon, we change the time a little bit, but it's almost always at that time. It's Eastern Standard Time. Remember that. The other thing, too, is if you want just to interact with us, it's you can go to attentiontalkradio.com to access our shows, or you can find us off of iTunes. But Facebook is really a really robust experience because you can write on our wall. You can access archive shows. You can look at upcoming shows. At different times, we have giveaways and stuff like that. But that's at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. You can also sign up for our newsletter there. Which is great because we're actually making some adjustment. Kirsten's kind of stepping up to that, and you're going to take that over. And I think we're going to change that just from a newsletter to actually Attention Talk News. That's going to have videos and articles and guest stuff, and we also going to put a list of our upcoming shows, so know that that's there. Kirsten, we've been talking to Wilma, but for those who are just tuning in for the first time, do you want to kind of go through her bio a little bit just so everybody has an idea of her, a little bit of her background before we start getting into the meat of the show?
Absolutely. Wilma Spellman has been a licensed professional counselor for 28 years, and she specializes in adolescents and adults with ADD, learning disabilities, and other challenges, and she works particularly in the area of career-related issues. She is also the author of two books, as you heard, the book of poems called The Other Me, Poetic Thoughts on ADD for Adults, Kids, and Parents. And she also wrote Finding a Career That Works for You. She has got a lot of other things that she contributes to as well. Every once in a while I see something come up that she's kind of put her mark on. So, Wilma, you and I have been exchanging emails and conversations, and I got to say that you are just so wonderful to work with. Jeff's right, you have a great voice.
Thank you.
Just a great way about you. So I imagine that your clients really get amazing benefit from working with you.
Oh, thank you, Kirsten. I really appreciate that.
So
well, thank you for being with us. So,
just to tee everything, this is kind of fun because we go back to like May the 9th and we're talking about talents. And one of the things that we're highlighting at that point in time that Wilma was there was kind of funny because talents are one of those things that people that have a talent, it's kind of hard for them to recognize because it's so easy for them. It's difficult because they think everybody can do it. We also talked about labels and how people just throw labels on it, and language is one of those things. When you come to a talent, you have to describe it. It's not necessarily like the person's like smart or whatever, or they're analytical. You really have to drill down, and at the end of the show, we'll talk about breaking tasks down in detail and try to understand what some of that stuff that is. But we talked about the art and the science of really trying to find what a talent is and what you're gifted is and really those things that you're good at. The last show we talked about a little bit of casting, the notion that many people look at a job or fall in love with it and try to make themselves into it as opposed to understanding who they are and try to figure out where they would really kind of fit in. And Wilma did a great job kind of outlining some of that stuff. So now if you're starting to understand what you're good at, where you're talented at. And by the way, we did a show with Dr. Now that about what does dopamine feel like, which is kind of a filter, which is really good at helping you understand what your passions are and maybe giving you a clue as to where to look on your talents. And Last time we talked about once you kind of get that, now we're going to start to move into if you're paying attention to who you are and what you really do well, we're going to get down into more nitty-gritty about how to actually cast yourself in that career and some of the things Wilma looks at when she's working with some people. So, Wilma, I want to kind of get into that, but before you begin, I'm very opinionated about career counselors. I don't mean them harm, but they just kind of go through a cookie-cutter approach. And can you talk to about them, and do they get it right, or are they missing something? And if they are missing something, what is it?
Well, first I have to tell you, Jeff, that the first time I heard you say that you have a thing about career counselors because they use a cookie-cutter method, I felt my defenses go up and definitely wanted to kind of come at it from the standpoint of defense. The more I thought about it, the more you're right. And my fear as a career counselor that has worked in the field for so many years, my fear is that novice counselors and coaches and other career service providers don't get it. They don't really understand the process of career development, and they don't really understand why it's so difficult to work with an individual with ADD as opposed to an individual with a different kind of more understood disability. So I've come full circle, and I kind of agree with you that there's an awful lot of cookie cutting going on out there, and it has become a new pet peeve of mine also. To join you.
Wow. Wow. Well, if you go back and listen to round one, and we call this as round three because round one I was warning Wilma it was kind of coming on fast. So Wilma, it's kind of cool you kind of come around. But the cool part about this is we talked about it being an art and a science because it's not just you throw some tests because it does depend on the individual. And last show we talked about ADHD is a situation it varies by individual and by day and manifests differently. So you can't just say this is the career for those with ADHD. Or you just can't be generic. You have to break it down into the details.
Absolutely. And as you had mentioned in the last show, it is said that there are thousands and thousands of combinations of symptoms that an individual with ADD can have. And so you can have a room filled with people with ADD and all of them be very different from each other. And that, I think, is what's unique about ADD as a challenge, that of all the symptoms that can be present in an individual with ADD, there are so many different combinations, different intensities of each of them. And so the cookie cutter scary part is someone who says, oh, you are a person with ADD. Here's a list of ADD-friendly jobs. And to me, that is so scary because it might be just fine for someone, and it might be the kiss of death for the next person, both of whom could be diagnosed with ADD. So it is not really a science as much as it is an artful approach to gathering data about the individual and artfully fitting it together like a puzzle. And I might want to add, like a very complex puzzle,
mm-hmm.
Like a puzzle with hundreds and hundreds of pieces that look very similar to each other. So it's not a slam dunk even when you collect the data. So if you hear of someone who gives a lot of tests and then kind of sends you on your way with a pile of printouts, that is doing such a disservice to the whole arena of career development service mm-hmm. providing.
Kirsten, I'm going to ask you this question because You and I have talked about this a little bit. I want to get your perspective. And Wilma, I'd like you to kind of comment on it. I know when I'm working with those with ADHD, and we're talking about their career and stuff like that, you know, most of them are coming in, they're looking at, I'm going to say label. I'm not so sure it's the right word, like technology or web design or accounting or kind of whatever it is. And, you know, Kirsten, what I do is I look at the environment that they have thrived in the past. So they might have been going through school and really liked web design, but I look at it and say, are they among people or are they by themselves? Because web design, many times, at some point in time, you end up in a cubicle or an office and you're all by yourself and you do some of that stuff. Whereas in a classroom, you might really enjoy it and thrive, but the environment, if you're collaborating with some other people. From your perspective as a psychologist, and I know you're starting to learn coaches, can you comment on that, Kirsten? And then, Wilma, can you comment on both of our comments?
Yeah, I mean, you can take somebody who, like the example you were giving, loves the idea of doing web design. They're wonderful, passionate at it. It really resonates for them. And you put them in, you know, an environment where they're in a cubicle and, you know, they're given a task and it's, you know, I'll get it done by tomorrow. And they burn out pretty quickly and start thinking maybe web design is not for them, whereas if you took that same person and just moved them into a different environment that suited them, and maybe for that person it's, you know, having a team approach or working on different projects, and all of a sudden they love their job again. It wasn't the task. It was, as you said, the environment. So you really do have, like, you have to address the whole person. You have to address the whole job every time you're looking at a particular job.
Well, there was one guy at one time I was coaching who was it was interesting because he did programming, and he always liked peer programming. He was struggling because he was had a company out of his basement all by himself, and he ended up going somewhere else, and he's like, I'm a component peer programming. I'm like, duh, because you like to do it with people. You can do, you're very motivated in the company of another, so that's a trait of the job. It's a characteristic, if you will, that's not really related to what the IT world, if you will, but it's motivational for you, and you're able to do some stuff. So, with all that stuff, William, can you comment on that? Are we smoking crack over here, or is there something to what we're saying?
No, I think it's right on. And I have to laugh because round three, we're sounding pretty homogeneous here. So we've really come a long way in these three episodes. But no, I think you're exactly right. You can love a career in one environment and hate it in another. You could be very suited for it in one environment and be totally unsuited for it in another. And it can be the exact same job title. So it's very important that, as Kirsten said, that you understand not only what you're all about, which is quite a project to figure that out, but also what the whole career is all about and which part of that career would you really thrive in and which part would make you struggle.
So is that part of the assessment that you do when you're working, or the process that you do when you're working with your clients?
Definitely. Definitely. It is. It is important to, first of all, find out all about the person. And there's a whole lot of steps to that, and I'll get into that in just a couple minutes. But then we need to find out all about the career. And we all have preconceived ideas of what a particular career is about based on either our imagination, or maybe we saw this on TV, or we know of somebody who talks about it. So in the few sentences that they talk about, we get an idea of what they do. And it's essential, and it's especially for anyone with challenges, but I think for everybody, it's essential to understand the essential tasks of the job and how it might vary from environment to environment.
I want to go to a break in a second, and when we come back, Wilma, I want to kind of go through, because I know that you take a look at interests and passions and skills and personalities and values and aptitudes and energy patterns, and you actually do some tests on some of that stuff, because you grab that objective information and then you apply a subjective look over top of it. But one of the things that just to kind of put what we've been talking into a context, and I don't know if this will work for everybody, but I know when I'm listening to people that come to me, they kind of talk – imagine they talk of careers in vertical silos. It's like they think of technology, or I'm not so sure. Let's think of like networking. You've got electricity, you got plumbing, and you got the internet. And I look at things kind of horizontally a little bit and say, you know, a valve is a switch is a router. They're all kind of doing the same thing. You just have different things running on it. And when I'm looking at those with ADHD, I'm trying to look not at the vertical, like what the topic is, but the characteristics of the job almost in a horizontal way to find out those commonalities. Because if we understand the environment that they work in and where they're, what they're always, if they're always motivated among people, and if they're always passionate when they're trying to problem solve on an insightful way, you start to come up with those characteristics on that on a different way. Then you start to say, well, what jobs would need those types of things. So you, that goes back to our show last week, understanding who you are and how you work, and then take a look at what's there. And I don't know if that's working for everybody out there, but I just say there's, when you're looking at this, we're paying attention to it a different way as traditionals, not like necessarily what you do, but kind of how you do it a little bit. Am I going way off track on this?
No, I think you're right on.
So let's go to a break. Before we do, if you're interested in contacting Wilma, her email address is W as in Walrus, R as in Ricky, Z as in Zebra, F as in Frank at AOL.com. Her book that we alluded to, all our books, you can find on Amazon.com. Right, Wilma?
That's
don't
right.
Misrepresent that. And we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to ask Wilma about these different things that she breaks people down and do some assessments and kind of understand more the tactical type side. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
There's a new tool ADHD coaches across the country are recommending to their clients, and it's not a book, a dietary supplement, or a brain scan. It's the ADD Crusher video series, ADD-friendly, highly entertaining tools that are guaranteed to get results. And for a limited time, Attention Talk Radio listeners get 15% off. Go to addcrusher.com and use code ATR15 to start crushing your ADD right now.
ADD Crusher, 5 ways, 5 minutes a day. Crush your ADD.
This is your ADHD information station, Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We got Wilma Feldman in the house, and we are in round three, talking about your career and stuff. Before the break, we did all kinds of stuff, but we alluded to we're going to come back and get down to the details here. So, Wilma, when somebody's kind of coming in, I know that people, when they come to you, many times they're, let's face it, their career's not going right. They're a little desperate, and they want to cling on, and they want things to move kind of quickly. And so I know they're is some help and some assessments that you give them, but there's that art side that we're going to talk about. So can you talk about what you do with them when they first come in terms of assessments and tests, just to kind of get a guideline? Talk about what you do, what the areas that you're looking at, and what how you use that information, and then we'll talk for a second about how you absorb it and understand who that person is.
Right. Yes. Interestingly, when someone comes to a career counselor, because their job isn't going well, they usually have two questions that they want to know right off the bat. How much is this going to cost me, and how fast can I get this done? And what they're looking for is the quick fix of, can I take that test, you know, the one that tells me what to be? And when they ask for that, what they're really asking for, or what they think they're asking for, is an interest inventory, which is usually the first thing that's done when you're assessing someone's strengths. Interests are a huge part of the puzzle. If we're interested passionately in something, that interest can carry us well beyond our, in some cases, our capability and well beyond our challenges. I like to use the example of an early client that I had that had no arms and one leg due to a congenital deformity, and she was a professional photographer. So her passion in the interest of photography and putting together one-woman shows definitely was overriding any challenges that she had in getting the job done, and she did a beautiful job and has made quite a name for herself. So interests are important, and we can either do standardized testing, the interest inventories that are available, or we can use paper and pencil assessments that are found in my book that are quicker. They're not as complete, but what I have found is that they tap into the artful part of the process rather than the scientific part of the process. And I can gather very quickly categories of things that light the person up. So interests are a huge part of that.
So I'm interested in those assessments. They're more artful, you said. Like, kind of, what's, tell me about those a little bit more.
Okay. In my book, there are some paper and pencil kinds of assessments that ask you to fill in the blank. When you were a young kid, which things were most like you? And there's a checklist of things that you might have done as a kid. Which ones interested you, which ones didn't. This is actually things that you might have done, like doing research, working with your hands, being a leader, writing stories, planning events, that kind of thing. It then goes into some questions that are not often asked on interest inventories, such as what types of books do you read for pleasure? Or magazines, or listen to. What activities do you love to do in your leisure time? What subjects in school did you do the best in and why? What subjects did you struggle with and why? What hobbies do you have? And at this point, what websites do you like to browse? This helps with the person who comes in and says, I'm not interested in anything. It helps to trigger some memories of things that, which teacher did you like the best, and what were they saying to you at a moment that felt the best?
You know, Kirsten, this is fascinating. She says this, and I don't know, when I hear stuff like this, I all of a sudden hear a connection. To me, this is what she's talking about. It's when I listen to the different things, sometimes I'm like, how are they all the same? And, you know, Kirsten, we were having Dr. Now on talking about what does dopamine feel like?
Right.
And it's that yowie, and you take a look at those times that you really get kind of excited about that stuff, and you look at what's kind of going on and the characteristics of it. And I know in Coach Train, a lot of times there's a thing called Magical Moments on the Mountain where you have somebody sit down and say, just write down those three times in your life where you were just on top of the world and it was just all kind of coming together for you. And they describe those particular moments, and you're looking for the characteristics of how they're the same.
Yes.
And I know we've talked before, Kirsten, like when I'm listening to some, like, you know, my kid just plays computer games. I have two kids. They're very different. And the computer, they both play computer games. But I say, what computer games? One of them is more mindless games. The other one, it's all sports. I've seen some kids on Halo and those types of things that are insightful games that are trying to figure out, because if you look at the detail and the commonality, if they're playing poker and Halo and stuff like that requires insight, that can give you a clue as to where their passions or what they like to do, whereas like one of my sons is like really into sports and he mimics that type of stuff. And Wilma, what's cool about this is if you say, what types of books are you reading, you know, are they – are they dime novels, or are you reading textbooks at night or whatever, those characteristics can give you a lot of clues as to where those passions are or what you're naturally attracted to.
Exactly. And it really is all about the patterns. The patterns that keep coming up over and over as each piece of the puzzle is looked into. And they will present themselves, but it does take some time and it takes some digging. I also want to mention, and I know Kirsten could speak to this, that when someone comes in with what we might call a flat affect and they say that they have no interests, they do no reading, they have no hobbies, nothing lights them up, and then they might take a standardized interest inventory and we get what we call a flat reading on it, meaning nothing stood out as a pattern that was rising above the rest, then we might want to take a look at the possibility of depression being a factor that can be overriding the progress that we might make if that weren't a factor.
One thing that I was noticing too, Wilma, that kind of speaks to that, as you were talking about your artful assessments, is that you are looking not just at patterns that are happening now in their life. You're looking at patterns that are happening across their life. And a lot of assessments, and I don't know about those in the area of career assessment, but a lot of psychological assessments assess the person now, as they are right now. So as you're saying, if somebody is depressed right now, they're going to have a flat profile.
Yes.
But if you assess them, you know, for their interests over a lifetime, you're going to get something different.
Mm-hmm.
It can actually help to move them forward because then you've got some information.
Yes, yes. And very often if someone loses a job, either is fired or laid off or failed miserably at the job itself and were asked to leave, if they come to a service provider, they're going to come with a lot of flat affect, whether it be clinical depression or situational. And sometimes it really takes some digging. I remember one man who said, I'm not good at anything. So don't even ask me what I'm good at. I'm just not. And then we began digging into things from before this experience. What subjects did you do the best in school? And can you remember someone commenting on something positive? And what were you doing at the time? And as Jeff said, what are some of the moments that stand out as being wow moments? What was happening? What were you doing? What were other people doing? And you have to sometimes kick it up over that flat affect.
Well, right. This is new to me. When you say flat affect, what do you mean?
Just a
lack of excitement.
Yeah.
Is that a clinical term?
I think that you were going in a different direction maybe than I was going, Wilma, because I was thinking of something else as you were talking about depression, but it sounds like you're also saying sometimes you can get a client who, because of their circumstances or just because of their makeup, they can come to you and be quite depressed, and maybe I'm overthinking things, but they may actually need to get some other help before they can fully engage in that process of moving forward to their next career or job.
Yes, and that is what I was alluding to. And I think a service provider needs to recognize that if that is the case and it's so pronounced, you need to refer to someone to deal with that as an issue first and then come back to where you were.
I would imagine, because even if you found the job for them, if somebody's depressed, they're not going to care. They're probably not even going to pay much attention to it.
It's going to impact their performance, their interpersonal skills, everything.
I got to tell you, this is fascinating to me because I didn't expect this here. And there's two things that go on. There's a depression side that I kind of understand, but at the same time, I'm getting all kinds of hits, and Kirsten's going to make all kinds of fun of me about this. But we did a show in March with Dr. Barkley about his executive function deficit disorder, and it made more sense to me in the world. And what's interesting to me is, when you're in the thick of it, and you're trying to figure out what your interests are, you're so close to it, you're so in the weeds, it's hard for you to see. And if you work like with a Wilma or somebody who gets the art of this, and they break these things down and using these tools to kind of help you identify what that stuff is, it takes me back to the conversation that Barclay was on his model about a coach or maybe a career, because, Wilma, you're doing a lot of coaching here, in my opinion, is you start to mirror, you go back in the past and you start to mirror back and reframe what was going right at different times to change people's hindsight. And when you change their hindsight, you change their foresight, which changes the language that they direct back on themselves and start to move forward. So I get the depression side and that there might be an issue that's there, but at the same time, there's another side where I could see somebody present themselves where you guys use flat affected or whatever. Maybe it's clinical, but sometimes it's not. It's just was the depression caused by the clinical side or the frustration? And sometimes just having somebody going through these exercises with you to kind of help you take your emotion at it to see the forest for the trees can really actually kind of reveal what was always there but you just never saw because you were too close to it.
Jeff, you actually did an interview, and I can't remember who it was with, and talked about the fact that a good number of mental illnesses are actually contributed to or maybe even caused by the fact that people become so introspective
mm-hmm.
that all they do is focus on how bad they feel or what's not going right for them, whereas if they directed their attention outward,
yes.
a lot of might resolve. And I think
it's
going through this
funny.
Process with Wilma might be one of those things that could be about directing your attention outward.
It's really cool you brought that up. We did an interview last September in 2011 with Greg Kirch on attention and managing attention. It's funny because as we speak, I had sent him, I said, listen, can you listen to this Barclay thing? Because we did an attention exercise with him at the front of it, and I said, I think Barclay's talking about the same thing. I'd like you to listen to the show, and he's supposed to listen to it and maybe come back on and comment on the two together because you can pay attention inwardly, which is passive inward as opposed to outward directed, and Greg has got some research that he cites that says that if you're inwardly focused on a passive way, there's higher levels of depression as opposed to if you pay attention externally in a direct type way, that it's not. And this is fascinating to me a little bit because I got to believe that sometimes those with ADHD have had a lifetime of just failures. They're so in the weeds. They're so internally focused. They don't necessarily know what's kind of going on. And a skilled person like Wilma to say, listen, let's take the pressure off. Let's sit down. Let's go through some of these exercises. And let me kind of help look at those patterns. And the cool part, Wilma, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong putting words in your mouth, but it seems to me is that as you start to go through those things, when you start to see those patterns and you mirror it back to them, if that person can go like, aha, yes, I've always been attracted to some of that stuff and I've always been successful in those situations, the light bulb can kind of go on and they begin to realize that, oh, yes, this is what I'm good at, this is what I can do, or this is those areas that I have confidence to excel. Is that?
Yes, yes. And sometimes you really – I mean, we're asking people in the career development process, you're asking people to be introspective. But on the other hand, you're right that there can be so much introspection that they wallow in some of the facts of challenge and how they've been held back. And, oh, my God, isn't this just an awful situation? And it is hard sometimes to do the counseling part, which is to get them to recognize that staying in that place isn't going to move them forward. And so we need to identify and then the pluses and the challenges and then move forward. So, yeah, they can get stuck. And that's why, too, a lot of paper and pencil assessments where you're digging with them in an artful way rather than a scientific way can trigger an idea where they may not have come up with it themselves. So, for example, giving them a checklist of things mental skills, interpersonal skills, and physical skills to see how many of these things have you done and where. And they start checking off and telling you where they've used them before. You can almost see an instant change and a shift in the way that they're sitting. They begin to be more hopeful. They begin to sit up straighter. It's like saying the light bulb goes on and, okay, so maybe I can do some things. How do those things all link together and fit into something in the world of work that can make me excel in something? And that's the goal.
Wow. Oh, my God. Go ahead, Kirsten.
I'm loving the fact that what I'm hearing from Wilma is she doesn't just look at their answers.
No.
She is paying attention to their body cues.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That oftentimes can give you almost more information than what is coming out of a person's mouth, how they respond to an idea or something that you've got in front of them. So, I mean, that really tells me, Wilma, we already knew that you were fabulous, but you are just, I mean, really connected to the person in front of you, if you could pay attention to all of that.
Thank you.
I need to run to a break here real quick. And can you, Wilma, can you run over? Like, can you go like a little bit longer?
Yes.
Kirsten, you good? Everybody in the chat room and on the lines, you're likely to lose connection in about 3 minutes. So all you have to do is go into our archives at attentiontalkradio.com tomorrow, move the thing over to 45 minutes, and you'll pick up the rest of the show. What's really cool about tonight is I like the essence of what Wilma's assessments are doing is we're trying to figure out, understand how that person works. And Kirsten and I had a spirited discussion on the two different kinds of how buttonology and how we've talked about the Barclay stuff and sometimes having an external person kind of like mirror back to kind of help refrain or pay attention to things differently and how you work and kind of show you what you do, which is an externalization, which he talks about. Some of the stuff we talked about, Dr. Nowles, dopamine is a kind of a clue to kind of help you identify those times where your passions and stuff are. These are organic type tools that we've been talking about on the show for kind of a period of time. And Wilma's talking about how she uses the assessments, but sometimes those, as my mother said, and we did a show with her a long time ago, what does a second grade teacher pay attention to? But she never like standardized testing because you just get the raw score, whereas if she saw what they got wrong, sometimes she can realize that, oh, they didn't get this concept because they consistently got this problem wrong. And she could go back and say, listen, if I just make this one adjustment, they would get it all. Whereas without knowing that, she had to go back and teach the whole math lesson or whatever was over with, that these interactive type things gives clues that you can kind of hone in on it. So amazing type
example.
Stuff. So I do have to get to a commercial break, so let's do that, and we'll come back, and we'll pick up on this, everybody. We'll run at least to 9 o'clock or another 15 minutes. Again, if you've got questions for Wilma, it's wrzf@aol.com, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We're in round 3, having a blast with Wilma Feldman here, getting We're doing this the hard way, Wilma.
I know, but it's fun.
Wait, hold a second. Here's what I don't get. Here's what I don't get. Is it really the hard way, or is it the easy way?
You mean this process?
Yeah, you know, you can sit down, you can ask the questions, and you can spend hours kind of doing that, and that just sounds kind of hard. Or you can just keep taking these tests that send you off into the wrong career for the rest of your life. And how hard is that?
I know it. It is so frightening to me that there are service providers who do function that way. And I want to mention that I'm not taking clients at this point because I am in full throttle of developing a training program for ADD coaches so that they may get the artful expertise of working with their clients on career issues. And I hope to have this ready by winter. And I hope that it will enable ADD coaches to gain expertise in career services and be identified as someone who has gained some career services expertise. And then I would encourage people who are looking for someone who does what I do to ask whether they have that expertise. And hopefully in time, there will be lots of people who really get it.
And so, Kirsten and I get free copies of all that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Sign me up right now, because being able to even have some of what you know in my head to use with my clients would be amazing.
Oh, you're very kind. I do think it's a piece that I've been thinking about for many years, and you know, in my workshop in Atlanta, I said I'm trying very hard to retire, but I want to be able to say to people, I'm sorry I can't see you, but here are a host of names of people who have expressed an interest and gone and gotten this expertise,
yep,
and they get it. And it's not that I'm so unique. It's just that people are so used to the knee-jerk reaction of giving all the tests, giving the results of the tests, in other words, interpreting the way that the printout says, and that's the end of it. And then they wonder why this person is still not directed. They're still going in circles.
Yep. For my own self-benefit here, there's a crowd out there that I think is like me and sometimes needs they get overwhelmed with all this stuff, and they summarize. And if I'm speaking to you out there, you know who you are, and that's this, is that I think what we're talking about, this is really kind of a paradigm shift in the way you go about casting yourself. The world gives you what you want, not necessarily what you need, and what you want is to be able to take a test and be able to get casted. And the paradigm shift here is sometimes you need to put a little more work up front and understand exactly who you are and what you do, and it might seem like, oh, my God, I got to do this and I got to spend the money. But again, what's it costing you to get it wrong over and over and over? And with what I'm getting from tonight, particularly those with ADHD, the commonality is that sometimes working with somebody else who's outside of you, who doesn't have the bias, who can ask the questions and will look for how you're unique and how you're different. And not everybody's like this. The art and the science and the way you tell those people are different. By the way, go listen to our house show, because if they're just giving you, here's the button, Al, you take the test, this is what it is, it's not there. But if you can say, well, we're going to take the test, but then we're going to sit down and kind of talk about what's going on, because they need to get to know you, because those are just clues, you might be on to something here. And, well, I do want to get tactical with you here for a second, because I do know you have tests that you look at a couple of different categories, passion and interest, right?
Yes.
Skills.
Right.
Personality.
Mm-hmm.
Values.
Yes, both work and leisure.
Aptitude.
Yes, that's a common one.
And energy patterns, right?
Yes.
So we've talked a little bit about passion and interest. I had my own bias and skills a while ago, but do you want to speak to that just in like 30 seconds real quick?
About the skills?
Yes.
What can you do? This is not what you've what you're capable of doing, but what can you do? What do you already have the skill to do? And it's just one piece of the puzzle. It's very different from aptitude, which might measure what you're capable of doing if you have the exposure to it and the continued trial of doing it and gaining the expertise. So,
and you distinguish skills as something that can change, but aptitude doesn't really change after high school.
It doesn't really change much after high school unless, of course, there is some catastrophic injury. I've worked
mm-hmm.
with an awful lot of closed head injury clients, and obviously aptitude will change dramatically in a case like that.
So aptitude is your ability to do a skill?
Yes, your propensity, your openness, your makeup, your whole makeup that it enables you to do it. So if you have an aptitude for math, let's say,
uh-huh.
You may not have taken higher math, so you don't have the skill right at this moment, but you may have an aptitude for it. You have your brain kind of thinks along those lines, and given the training the lesson and the repeated expertise, you can gain skill in that area too.
So for everybody who's ever read any of my emails, you'd realize I don't have the aptitude to spell.
Lots of people don't. But today that's becoming, you know, less and less necessary.
Yeah, well, thank God. So we've covered that. Now talk to us a little bit about just personality.
Personality is really important. I could have the interest in being a surgeon. I could have even the aptitude for being a surgeon. I could go to school and gain the skill in becoming a surgeon, but I may not have a surgeon's personality. And in order to really excel at certain environments within a particular career, the personality has to match as well. And so a good example might be there are people who are intuitive type people and other people who like a map of where they're going. And the intuitive people say, well, you know, don't bore me with the details. Just give me a general kind of a thing. And so they're way over on another end of a continuum that is measuring that particular personality trait. And there are some jobs that line up with the intuitive type person and not the sensing, and there are, and vice versa. Another example would be if you are a very external processor, you're someone who thinks out loud, and you're working with someone who is an internal processor. They think in their head and don't really say much until everything is pretty much worked out. If you're working on a committee together, the two of you, there may be a difference in how you both operate, and that committee might have some trouble. On the other hand, if you're both very external and everybody's talking at the same time, then you may not want to work in that kind of environment if you're that kind of person. So taking a look at your personality looks at four different dichotomies, your internal or external processing, how you take in information, whether it be intuitively or very sensing, whether you're a very organized person or more of a laid-back kind of I'll just do it as I go kind of person, and whether you think with your brain or your heart, whether you're a thinking person or a feeling person.
Mm-hmm.
And that can, if you
That's huge.
Oh, it's very huge. If you're a very feeling person and you're in business and you need to chop 10 people out of your workforce, that could just about put some people away.
Or if you're very much a feeling person, you got to give a logical reason why you're doing something. That can be very difficult to articulate and or write just because of how do you convert that stuff. So
yes.
Can you explain, maybe I just missed something. You said intuitive or sensing. Can you tell me what you're talking about with those characteristics?
Yes. Let me give you the best example I can. I was working with a group of people explaining that very dichotomy, and what I had them do, people who scored very intuitively on their Myers-Briggs type indicator, I put on one side of a room, and people who are very sensing, I put on the other side of the room, and I gave them each a flip chart, and I asked them to write down on the flip chart directions from my office to our local basketball field. And the intuitive people were done in about 30 seconds, and the sensing people, meaning everything had to be sensed. They had pages and pages of directions. You walk out of her door and you turn left. You go to the elevator and you make a right. You come off the elevator. It took them 2 pages to get out of our parking lot. The other people who are more intuitive said, well, all you really have to do is jump on the expressway and get off at the third exit.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I'm working with people, and sometimes not only will they tell you the elevator, they'll tell what color was and what the light was coming in, flashing
exactly.
on the
They're
elevator in the distance.
Exactly, every single piece of information.
It's funny
it's all important.
I've coached like two writers before that they could tee up the scene, but they got stuck at the how part. Like once they created the environment, they couldn't get you to where they wanted you to go, but they were really good at creating that feeling, that sense of environment that's kind of going on. And Wilma, I think that's really important because some of those people just don't have the aptitude for walking across the how part. But they really do have the aptitude of really sensing kind of what's going on in a more feeling type sense, and to understand that's who you are and what you do is like saying, listen, I'm left-handed. Let's look for left-handed solutions as opposed to trying to force right-handed solutions on that person.
Exactly. And again, if you're working in a group with someone who thinks very differently from the way you do, and you have to work together, it's at least helpful for you to understand where you're both coming from and why you need to hear it, the information a certain way, and the other person needs to hear it differently.
And or everybody out there who's has ADD and you're married, if your spouse is very intuitive or logical and your significant other is very feeling or sensitive, it's interesting to me how so many times they sit down and have a conversation and one's speaking Spanish and the other's speaking French. They're one's looking for the logic and one's looking for the feeling, and until you realize that you're coming from completely different areas, you don't even realize what's going on in the conversation. But when you do, and you're then empowered to realize, let this person get the feelings out first, and then I can get to the logical side, and you can more appropriately manage that situation.
That's right. The knowledge is power. It really is.
But that goes back to a thing, and I'm really running out of time because there's one of the things that I've heard you talk about, Wilma, is you take tasks and you break them down.
Yes.
And if you're talking about, you know, what's your personality? Are you a feeling person? Are you an intuitive person? We're really trying to take that person and deconstruct them into the parts to say, okay. I remember one of the first persons I coached, they said, I'm creative. I'm like, what exactly are you talking about? Can you write jingles? Well, no, I'm visual. Okay, are you two-dimensional or three-dimensional? Well, I'm two-dimensional. Okay, great. You're creative, two-dimensional, right? Oh, how do you come up with content? What do you mean? Do you edit it? Is it a collage? Do you whip out a white sheet of paper or whatever? Well, no, I guess it's really kind of a collage. And when we got done, it was kind of funny because the person just said, okay, finally, I got some specificity. Your creativity is a two-dimensional collage. Yes. What do you do for a living? I put together communications and brochures. Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Anyway, But the nature of what you're doing, and by the way, it's an art to sit there and say what exactly is the task and break it down into those details. And it's interesting to me because I worked with some people and they get confused. If they're thinking externally, and Kirsten, you hit it on earlier, if they're directing their attention outward, they're very macro thinkers. But if they're internal, if they're directing their attention on themselves, or if they've got some skin in the game, they become very internal thinkers and they become very emotional. So their decision-making process, if they're thinking, if they're trying to deal with somebody else, it's a very macro-level, analytical kind of consultation. If they're thinking about themselves, it's a very feeling in the moment micro, and that thinking process is completely different, and they get confused by it all. It's only when you get that Swiss Army knife and dissect it and say, hey, listen, are you attending externally or internally, that you begin to see the patterns align.
Exactly. And essentially then the process of career development is three steps. It's assessing all about the person and then assessing all about the careers that seem to correlate with the person. And then the third and final step would be assessing the degree of match between the person and what's required of the job. And the degree of match would there then include challenges and can we overcome the challenges, or some we can overcome, some we can't. So are we going to fit into the essential tasks of a given job? And I do want to mention that that's the easy part, though, Jeff. The essential tasks of the job are found online under, if you Google the Occupational Outlook Handbook, you'll get a very long website URL that is provided to us by the government, and it takes a job, any job. There are over 40,000 jobs that are described on this website in such detail that you wouldn't believe it. So that's the easy part. It's really taking first the profile of the person and holding it up like a mirror next to this information and seeing if there is a degree of match and to what degree. And we want to find an overwhelming degree of match. Otherwise, we're going to need 52 accommodations and modifications, and when it's not going to work.
And I think you said you need to, 75% of the job needs to be a match.
That's my own unscientific rule that I've worked with clients. Otherwise, you're trying to mash the square peg into the round hole. If 75%, if most of the job fits you, but you have some areas that need modification, that's workable. But if everything needs modification, obviously that's a poor choice. So if you go on the Occupational Outlook Handbook website and you look at, let's say, lawyer, it breaks it down into such minute detail, the essential tasks of the job. And then it even goes into various work environments. So it's not just talking about the ladies and gentlemen of the jury type lawyer. It goes into all kinds of lawyers and all kinds of environments, some of which may work for you based on your profile and some may not.
You can have a law degree and teach it and be happy as a lark, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can sit in the corner and do some stuff. And, you know, Kirsten, we did a show at the end of June with, it was Kimberly, right, about the impact of ADHD in higher education. The person was drawn to law, not necessarily because they really understood the job, but because of the romance of it.
Yes, yes, and television. We've talked about this in the last program, but there are so many lawyers, and these are bright, young, in most cases, young adults who really think they understand what they're getting into, and because of what they've seen on TV, and it's so different. If they just took 15 minutes. To read the profile that's online, readily available for anybody to pull it up, it could save some of them so much time and money and student loans.
Absolutely.
And in some cases, they'd still go into it, but they would go into it with a more realistic expectation and know which environment would really work for them and which one wouldn't.
And they would go and prepare it. So,
yeah.
Well, we need to pull this thing together. Kirsten, you got any comments or thoughts before we wrap it up?
Oh, my God. I'm sitting here looking at the Occupation Outlook handbook. How? That's amazing. If I wanted to be an actuary, this is what I need.
That's right.
You are phenomenal. I thank you so much for the last few weeks. And
thank
I'm looking forward to listening to your poetry again and again.
Thank you so much.
But,
Wilma, I'd
yeah.
like to thank you. I'm sorry.
If anybody is looking for a career and they have ADHD, I think, you know, just listening to this and so that you can interview and find the right career coach is going to be helpful.
And you know, Wilma, I really appreciate you kind of coming on because when I met you in March, I was in your face and the defenses kind of came up, but you came through in shining colors because the message that I think here that I really wanted to kind of communicate to those out there in the ADD world, particularly them, is that, hey, listen, you can do it the hard way or you can do it the easy way. And the hard way is actually beating your head against the wall, taking the shortcuts. And the easy way is actually to sit down. And we've had enormous number of experts on this show, and we cited, I think, probably 24 shows that all kind of point to the same thing because we have some filters. One, notice what dopamine feels like. It'll give you an idea of what you're passionate about. Break those tasks down in details. Just don't assume and be curious. If you can understand how you work, your modalities, if you can get somebody else that can work with you outside to kind of filter through those processes to kind of help you see things that you don't know because you're really kind of close to it, and you begin to identify who you are and you actually begin to identify how you naturally work, then what you do is you go out into the world, and the trick to this is you don't necessarily know what to do, but here's the cool part, is you know what not to do. Because the issue is not so much at first about casting yourself correctly, it's about not miscasting yourself, because that's just frustration and dead ends. So as you start to weed out the things that you know that you don't work, that overwhelming feeling that you have of what should you do actually kind of corrects itself over time, because as you weed out all these things that won't work, it actually narrows down and allows you to focus on what will work.
I love that. And if I were queen of the world, I would have parents keep a journal of all the strengths that they see in their children over time from birth on. And that would be exactly what you're talking about, Jeff. That would be the culmination of what works right with the person, and there will be fewer mistakes made, and with fewer mistakes, you feel less awful about yourself. There is nothing like failure after failure to wreck someone's self-esteem, and they get to feel there's nothing out there that's going to work for them. And it's so sad, because with just a little more gathering of data, a little more probing over time, that could be avoided.
And I'm going to, just real quickly out there, if you're a parent looking at this and you've got some kids, we're actually having a conversation with an organization that come on, I think the second week of October, that's directed specifically at parents on particularly managing ADHD kids. And I think we're going to have some real insightful stuff on how to actually observe and watch and pay attention to what they do right. Because we're all taught to notice what you did wrong. We're not really taught to notice what people do right, and it sounds simple, but it's amazing. Sit down and take a look at what you do right every day, and at first people struggle with actually identifying that, but if you ask them what they did wrong, they can start to reel it off left and right. So if any of this rings a bell, stay tuned, watch our programming. I think it's slated for it's the week before ADHD Awareness Week, so it's like the 10th or something like that, so stay tuned for that. And so, Wilma, I think we've run out of time. We should have gone for another show. Maybe we'll have you come back, but it's been an absolute pleasure and a thrill having you on. Kudos to you. You are everything I hope for and more. And everybody out there, if you've got any questions and you'd like to contact Wilma, it's wrzf@aol.com. With that, Wilma, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you both so much. I had a ball.
And Kirsten, thanks again for coming on the show. And we got a great show next week. Dr. Nell's coming on, and we're going to talk about how exactly did you do that, which is really kind of an extension of this conversation when you think about it. So there's more to come. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.